Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant.
And took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Welcome to Glorious Day. This is Pastor David.
And Pastor Barry.
And we're delighted to be here with you for the third program in a series that has been looking at Matthew 22, 34 through 40, which is the greatest commandment in the law. And it's also the greatest commandment that Jesus has given his people, us, to embrace.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to start with Pastor Barry again reading that entire scripture. And then the theme for tonight is basically titled this, God is in Relationships.
Today's scriptural reading is Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, the word of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Uh-huh.
And if you listen closely, and it would be great for you to, if you want to meditate on these scriptures, is to look at the relationships in the that being talked about in this scripture.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the relationship with between us and God. There's also the relationship we have with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing is the relationship we have with ourselves.
Ah.
Think about that. We don't think about that. We think about as ourselves. Now, not in a negative way, we talked about narcissism.
Yes.
That's not what we're dealing with here. Self-centeredness, that's not what we're dealing with here.
Mm-hmm.
But it is to seek in our relationship with God when we devote and give him, submit to him who we are, our whole lives, submit to him for his transformation, his blessing, to be all in with Jesus, then he's going to show us who we're supposed to be, who he intended for us to be,
right.
The authentic self, which, yeah, it takes a lifetime to emerge for most of us. But the point is, it does emerge if we do that.
And we need to get out of our own way, out of his way.
Isn't that true? So, and Barry, you know, you have some thoughts that I'd love for you to share in this about the issue of relationships.
Well, relationships, we have our own version of them here on planet Earth in the human world.
Mm.
And sometimes it goes fairly well, and sometimes it's a disaster. I think about weddings, David, the weddings that I've done and you've done. We've done a lot of weddings, you know. And you look at that special day, and you see the bride and the groom just glowing, and you stand with them and present them to the world as the new husband and wife.
Yeah.
And anybody worth their salt, if they're going to go ahead and preside at a wedding, needs to know the bride and the groom are equally yoked in their relationship, that they both have a relationship with God.
Yes.
And the relationship goes so far beyond that wedding day, and that's what I kind of hammer home.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the first assignment to all my soon-to-be-wed, maybe-be-wed brides and grooms is that they leave the first meeting after just 5 minutes of introductions and go home.
Mm.
And I tell them to unplug TV, phones, everything,
mm-hmm.
kneel down, and pray out loud together for 5 seconds or 5 minutes or an hour, whatever it takes, out loud. And I usually meet with them separately after that.
Mm.
And I always get about the same response. We were awkward. We giggled. And then we had an argument. Well, it's awkward because they haven't explored that dimension of their relationship yet.
Right.
He's so cute. She's so pretty. Bop, bop, bop. They're in love. they're walking about 1 foot off the ground, David, you know, and floating around in love. But they haven't, in many cases, examined their spiritual selves, which is a whole nother way of loving someone. It's a whole dimension of the relationship that they haven't appreciated or discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, from the get-go, one of them, if they're honest, may say, you know what, I can't do that. I don't believe in anything. Mm-hmm. I have no relationship with God. And it's a sad day, but these things are being revealed before the yoke is placed on them.
Yeah.
And in relationships, particularly marriage, there needs to be a full-in relationship, meaning physical, spiritual, emotional, intellectual, and all of the above tied together. Or else you're going into a relationship blindsided.
Right.
And I had one particular wedding I did, and it was one of the ones, we all had the ones that kind of got us a little emotional. And
sure.
It was a husband and a wife-to-be that were just, they were young. You know, when they're young, people say, well, that's probably not going to work out. She was a chatterbox. She loved to talk. And he could get in about a good 5 words an hour if he was lucky. But he asked me a question, and I didn't know how deep he was because I didn't speak to him much. And he said, I've been to weddings where they kiss like a brother and sister when you say kiss the bride, or they just get out of control and it's awkward.
Yeah.
How do I kiss her? Oh, my. No one's ever asked me that before, David. But I could tell that this humble man loved her so much, he wanted to get things right.
Yeah, that's great.
And I said, you know, I can tell that you love her. Kiss her like it maybe is the first time, or perhaps it could even be the last time.
Mm.
And they went away, and on the wedding day, when he lifted the veil to kiss her, he had tears running down his cheeks. And verbally, not much there. Quiet man. But that was many years ago, and I hear not only are they still married, but they've got 3 little ones running around the house.
Yeah.
And they really care for each other. And they were that was a couple, when I sent them home to pray, they came back laughing. And he said, when I pray, I only use a couple of words because God knows I don't talk a lot. When she prays, it's like she's got God on speed dial, and they just chat all day long.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it works with those two. And she kind of laughs at him sometimes. She said, thank God he's not a newscaster. We have no news.
yeah, right.
But relationships, and particularly marriage, and that kind of mirrors our relationship with God. It has to be totally open, honest, all cards on the table from the get-go. And you go into the relationship. Okay, you go to God saying, I want you to clean out my heart. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to get this right. You don't hold anything back.
No.
God never holds anything back.
Never.
We should never hold anything back. It comes back to maybe having a false relationship. You know, the previous program, you used the word con game. And I kind of like that because I've met some people in the world that go to church every Sunday and they go to Bible study on Wednesday nights. But sometimes in the way in which they speak or live their life, you're wondering, okay, what's going on here? You can't have a foot in both worlds.
Right.
Like you can't be married and still date.
Nope.
Many wives will frown on that, David.
Some people do that, but it's detrimental.
Yes.
Very detrimental.
It's counterproductive.
You know, I thought it's Holy Spirit led that you picked the story of the bride and the groom, the wedding, because in talking about this scripture in terms of relationships, and again, it's fundamental stuff. It's very basic things that we have to get right.
Oh, yeah.
And that really the God is the only one that can help us get it right. But we know that marriage, and this is why I'm going to say as a segue, why the church not only is but should be even more concerned and even outspoken about how our culture has so damaged the image of marriage and so convoluted it. It's just from the cultural standpoint, it's a mess because God, if you get back to the Word of God, what does God intend? God had one plan for marriage, that a man and a woman would come together in marriage, that they would make a commitment to God and each other. And that's where this scripture comes in, because it's a submission to God and to each other in that relationship. And that's what God intended marriage to be, as a sign and a symbol to the world of watching a man and a wife, Christian, I mean, believing men and women, who are living their lives in the power of the Spirit, seeking to serve God and each other, and that the modeling that marriage would do would teach people about a relationship with God. Not everyone's called to be married, but a single person could look into a good, solid Christian marriage and see how that their lives could have a relationship with God, because the essentials are the same, and that would be a blessing. And that's why I believe the church ought to take a greater stand than it has, and why I'm speaking out right now.
Right.
And why Barry is joining me in this with his assent. You can't see his head nodding.
I nodded my head, which you should never do on the radio.
On the radio.
But you know, David, that's so true. And we live in a society where marriage has taken a backseat. You don't have to do that anymore, right? that was the old-fashioned way. And you see lives just being torn to pieces with people who embrace today's culture's definitions of relationships. Relationships in today's world is it's a very temporary thing. I'm surprised that the marriage license aren't written in pencil.
Or disappearing ink.
Disappearing ink.
Yeah.
And it's just a sad thing to witness, but you know, God is still around, David. He hasn't gone away. And all of his words haven't changed. I haven't picked up a Bible lately and seen that things have been changed, erased, missing. If you do find a Bible where the words are all changed, throw it in the trash, please.
Yeah, really. Right. Or just don't find it.
Yeah, don't find
leave
it
unfound. Yeah. But, and some people are, that their interpretation of the word is not what the word says.
No.
You know,
and you know, just like in your marriage vows, your vows to God is fidelity. And you're putting God first.
Yeah.
And in any marriage, a healthy marriage, you're putting your spouse first. It's self-sacrificing love.
But it all has to be, because if you put God first, because it's all about God. If you look at the most any Christian good Christian marriage, the service, the words that are being spoken there, all focusing on God, what you're coming to God as a man and a bride and a groom wanting to be married.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming to God asking him for the power
right.
to do what you cannot do on your own, which is to have that marital relationship with God in the center,
mm-hmm.
and that through and that God blesses you to bless your wife and the husband and the wife, and then as children come along, to be a blessing to them.
Right.
And believe me, those of you out there that have a Christian marriage, and you remember when the kids came along, that everything hit the fan. I mean, at that point, you know, it just got more important, you know, to have God in the center of your life, because kids will get you on your knees a lot quicker.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so but again, it gets back to this commandment, to love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul. Right. All your energy, and just love your neighbor as yourself, because at this point, talking about marriage, okay, your spouse is a neighbor in this regard too.
And that's true.
You're to love that person, and let them love you, you know, and let God work through your hurts, your misunderstandings, and magnify your joys.
That's important right there, David.
Magnify
and the joys,
your joys
may not be big, earth-stopping, you know, heart-pounding, sudden joys. I mean, it's all the little things along the way.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the journey is the joy. I've done some wedding vow renewals of people who have been married 65 years. The highest I've gone, I think, is 67 years married. And what's interesting is there was a couple that met in Pearl Harbor on that morning.
Oh.
He was a sailor on one of the ships that were blown up, and she was a nurse. And she said his proposal was the 15th of that day.
Really?
For some reason, when sailors get hurt and they're lying in a gurney, they see a pretty nurse, they propose marriage. I don't know what prompted that, but she said yes, and they were married all those decades. And I said, you've been in love for 67 years. And she put her little wrinkled hand up. She said, well, that's not true. There were days and months where we weren't that close.
Yeah.
And we saw it through because of our vow and our commitment and our basic love got us through.
Yeah.
But she said, there are challenges and bumps in the road. And yet, because of their love and their mutual love for God, they saw it through.
Yeah.
And that's important because, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we can't do this on our own. We just can't. You've got to have a relationship with God before you can have a successful relationship with a man or a woman.
And you know this, I'm glad that God led you to speak about marriage because this commandment has to do with serving God and receiving from God the power, the grace, you know, that we need to have the kind of relationship with Him that is like marriage, because the scriptures make it clear that the church is the bride of Christ, and that right now every Christian, every believer must be embracing this commandment to have the quality of life that God's grace provides in that relationship, which is like the relationship between a man and a woman in marriage.
Amen.
That's God uses that, you know.
The bridegroom and the bride.
The bridegroom and the church is the bridegroom, the bride rather, and Jesus is the bridegroom.
Mm-hmm.
When he comes back, and he is coming back soon, but when he comes back, he's coming for his bride, the church.
That's right.
And, you know, frankly, and if you're a guy listening to this, I know you're going to say, I can't get my head around that. But, you know, I started with that too, but God has been giving me that deep, profound spiritual understanding of what that means, but it comes out of the submitting to God and saying, I want to fulfill this commandment to know you as deeply as I can, to have you know me, let you get into every part of my soul, you know. Yeah, sometimes you got to kick the dust bunnies out of the way, you know, and bust down a door. But I want you to do that because I want to have what you want me to have.
Goes back to that intimate relationship with God.
And it's all about that. We keep coming back to that point, don't we?
Yeah. Well, that's the central point. That's it, David.
Yeah.
You know, we can sugarcoat it. We can go to this bunny trail or that bunny trail. But there's a God who created you that loves you more than you can ever understand.
Yeah.
And you may not have had that kind of relationship in this planet with other humans. Maybe that's why we can't understand. And as much as you love your wife, as much as you love your husband, guess what? God loves them even more.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for people that have been resisting Jesus and his call on their lives, you know, have avoided churches like the plague.
Right.
You know, and mock Christians. And what we believe and how we live our lives and all that. And I understand where that comes from. It comes from a deep fear, first of all, of a deep fear of giving up control to God.
There's the key. There's a word, David, control.
Oh, man,
what a
word.
We could do a series on control.
We could. We probably should.
Yeah.
We probably should.
We don't have any control.
No.
What's the old expression? If you want to make God laugh, make a plan.
Yeah, right. Tell him your plans.
Tell him your plans.
You know, say, yeah, well, hearty laugh and say, not so much. But that's where it's at. But at the same time, and I kind of want to hone in on, if there's any listeners who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior and you haven't invited him into your life, and maybe this whole discussion has got you a little antsy because we're talking about submitting to God. But, you know, now, this is a very secular thing, but I don't know if you're a mechanic or you work on your own car. It's hard these days because, you know, back when we were driving cars, Barry, in the
60s. You could see the engine.
You could see the engine. You could actually get in the engine compartment and work on it behind the fenders, but not so much today. But some people love to do as what they can. Well, if you don't have the training, if you don't have the experience, and if you don't know what resources to go to help you, mm-hmm. you can end up probably destroying that and costing a lot more money to have someone that knows what they're doing fix it. Well, what spiritual life is really no different is we're going to go to God who made us
mm-hmm.
and made us to be in relationship with him. And we're going to ask him, you know, God help me. Finally, we're going to come to that point, tired of running, tired of hiding from God, tired of not having what I kind of have a hope and belief in my heart that I could have.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking to you people right now that are right there.
Right.
And all you have to do, really, I mean, it sounds simple, right? After all this. So I'm going to have to file a form in triplicate, you know, with some celestial authority.
26 and then, pages of application.
Really hope to get, right.
Including references.
Including, right. All of that stuff that the world requires of you to get anything of quality, uh-huh. right? But no, you open your heart to God.
Mm-hmm.
In quiet, you get down on your knees. If you can, if not, the knees of your heart, because, you know, you're humbling in your heart and just
well, the hearts do have knees, don't they?
They do. Oh, I believe okay. I've used that phrase before, but I think it's important. Some people are not able to get on their knees.
You know, David, I work with the elderly as a chaplain, and I see some of these folks that have resisted the invitation well into their 80s, and in some cases even 90 years old, and they receive the same news, medically speaking, that others in the facility might get in a nursing home. You know, your test came back and, you know, all the radiology reports are lit up with cancer and, you know, this and that. And my elder statesman of Christianity will smile and say, okay, I'm going to go home to the Lord now. And the ones who are holding back freak out.
Yeah.
In fact, one of them, to use your analogy of an auto mechanic, I said, okay, listen, the doctor came in the room and you're a 1952 DeSoto and they don't make the parts anymore and the mechanics that could fix you died and you've got 300,000 miles on you, you know, and that's your reality and then it's over.
Yeah.
And I said, but it's not over. All you need to do is invite Jesus into your heart and your odometer is set at zero again for your eternal life. And this guy understood that.
Cool. Yeah.
You know, that kind of clicked in his head, and eventually he did come to Christ, just in time, by the way.
Wow, yep.
And, you know, the Lord is patient. He is so patient, so merciful.
He is.
We need not wait till that point, ladies and gentlemen. You could do this right now. You could do this tonight. Take a quiet moment in your home and, you know, turn off the TV. Turn off any noise. Close the door and ask Christ to come into your heart.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it works. Just you and him. No one else. Intimate relationship time.
That's good. Yeah.
Amen.
And a good beginning, and he will answer your prayer.
That's right.
He never fails to answer it.
That's right, David.
And so that is the most exciting news ever.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to keep reporting on what Jesus will do if you want him in your heart.
David's smiling, by the way, when he just said that. he lights up. Whenever the word Jesus comes out of David's mouth, for those of you who don't know him, he gets this big smile on his face, and it's infectious. The room is smiling right now.
You know, earlier, speaking of lighting up, when you're speaking about the married couple and all their that aura of joy they have and mm-hmm. that early days of love, you know, and the bride and the groom, lighting up, and I was just thinking, I referenced that when I was doing a premarital counseling for a couple, and I said, especially to the groom worked at a nuclear power plant. I was going to say, yeah, now we got to make sure, we know you're going to light up. joke, because, you know, they don't glow if you do that. And anyone's working at a nuclear power plant, you know, I really respect your work.
Yes,
but
not,
I was just
you're not
making
moving night lights, right?
No, you're not moving night lights. But it is, I guess, we want to challenge the people who are hanging on to these lies that you've been told all your life, that you've believed
mm-hmm.
about Jesus. and about what it means to follow him, to have him in your heart, because that's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. And when you come to realize that you have been made by this God to be in his heart, so he can be in your heart, to be someone, listen, at the end of the day, there's only two places your spirit's going to spend eternity. There's
right.
one that I don't want you to spend eternity in, because it's an eternity of torture and damnation and total absence from God. The other one is to be with God. We have been made to live eternally with the living God. Think about that.
Mm-hmm. That's
God intentionally birthed you.
Right.
Formed you in the womb and grew you up. And this, he loves you, he wants you, but he won't force you. You have to choose that way. Jesus said, I'm the only way to the Father. We have to choose him. But when you do, all things change. But if you don't, you know, I hate to do this, what I call negative evangelism, in the sense that I don't want to scare you into the kingdom. But to be honest, to be truthful, there's only two planes of spiritual existence for you, for any of us. I want you to be with us in heaven. I know I'm going to be there because Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Barry's going to be there too. I want you to be there. I don't know you. Maybe someday we'll meet. Doesn't matter. We'll meet in heaven, I hope, if you will just receive Jesus in your heart today.
Oh, yes. Amen, David. You know, it would make my day in heaven to have someone walk up to me and say, weren't you on that radio program with David?
Yeah.
That was the night I came to Christ. You know, it would be even better if he didn't remember our names and it was all about Jesus.
Yeah, really. Yeah, amen, because it's really all about Jesus. So I have a feeling we'll know who everybody is.
I do, too.
You know, not because there's name tags you get on the white road.
Hello, my name is? Yeah.
Yeah, right. No, none of that. We'll just all, because we'll be in God, right, fully and completely, and God knows us by our name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we probably even have a hair head count. Hair count. Anyway, well, it's time for us to go. Thank you for listening. Let us know that you're listening. You can email WCNO@WCNO.com and tell us that you're listening to Glorious Day. We'd really love to hear from you.
Yes, we would.
Be blessed, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bless you all.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.